Broadcasting live to New York, Bloomberg 1130. To Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 99.1. To Boston, Bloomberg 1200. To San Francisco, Bloomberg 960. To the country, Sirius XM Channel 119. And around the globe, the Bloomberg Radio Plus app and Bloomberg.com. This is Bloomberg Markets.
And you are listening to Bloomberg Markets on this Wednesday. Carol Masser along with Corey Johnson. Coming up, Corey, we're going to take a look at small caps, which have been on quite a run since the presidential election.
Well, indeed, in the last year, the small cap 600 index up 21%. So a lot of hot action going on with the small caps. We'll certainly take a look at that. And of course, we'll also keep an eye on what's going on in London and the latest headlines out of that. Let's get all the world's business news headlines from Doug Christman. Doug?
Many thanks, Corey. We are brought to you by SEI. Imagine your asset management firm's operational infrastructure as a competitive advantage. Let SEI show you how at seic.com/imagine. 32 past the hour. Let's get you caught up on market action. We're focused on the British pound right now. It's holding relatively steady against the U.S. dollar. We're trading at $1.2486. This after that terror attack in London. We've been covering it for you here on Bloomberg Markets. Four people killed, one of whom was a police officer. We'll have details coming up. By the way, the FT 100 in the London session was down 0.7%. Insofar as U.S. stocks are concerned, a mixed picture for the equity market after declines yesterday in the major benchmarks by 1% plus. Here we have the Dow off about 0.2%. Many of the tech names pushing higher, helping to lead the broader market up, if you look at the S&P 500, by about 0.1%. The NASDAQ composite, meantime, better by 0.2%. Bloomberg, a dollar spot index, weak for a sixth straight session. That's kind of odd, given the flight to quality that we've seen in the bond market. Bloomberg dollar spot down about 0.2%. Speaking of bonds, U.S. 10-year Treasury giving back about 2.5 basis points in yield right now. We are 2.39. Many of the energy names following the price of crude oil lower. WTI right now lower by 0.4%. $48.06 a barrel. That's it from this end. Carol, back to you.
All right, Doug, thank you very much. Bloomberg Markets brought to you by Bentley University. What do Rebooting America's Oldest Ski Shop and Crunching Numbers at Vistaprint have in common? An MBA from Bentley University, which prepares graduates to innovate and lead, because businesses everywhere prepare here.
All right, Corey, we do want to get an update on the London terror attack. Let's go back to the UK. Tim Ross is our Bloomberg News UK reporter. Tim, once again, remind our listeners where you are.
So I'm outside Parliament, which is in complete lockdown at the moment, looking at the clock face of Big Ben in some streets which are normally heaving with traffic and people, tourists everywhere, but tonight are completely deserted.
And what's the latest in terms of what we know? We did get an update from Scotland Yard at the top of the hour.
Sure. So to recap, what we know is that four people, including, we believe, the single attacker in this incident, have been killed today. At least 20 more have been injured, most of them, I think, on Westminster Bridge, where the attacker drove a car at pedestrians, running them over and killing two people on the bridge and injuring, as I say, a number of others, including three more police officers who also happened to be on the bridge at the time. Now, one of the people who've sadly been killed today is a police officer who was defending Parliament, securing Parliament and trying to keep the public and lawmakers safe. That officer has sadly lost their lives today. And I think it's an incident that has shocked all of the politicians and say, members of staff and journalists too, who work in that building day in, day out in London today.
It does seem that the security measures in place, though, seem to have really prevented this from being a lot worse.
Well, we don't know how the attacker was armed exactly. We don't know what their intentions were and what else they might have been planning. But certainly the attacker doesn't seem to have got very far into the precinct of Parliament before being, we think, shot by an uniformed, a plainclothes police officer. But some of this information will come out in the hours and days ahead, I'm sure. What's going to happen next is that the UK Prime Minister, Theresa May, is chairing a meeting of the government's top security committee. They'll be reviewing security in London. Police will be on the streets. There'll be more police with guns and weapons trying to keep people safe. And the situation will go forward from there, I think.
All right, Tim, we appreciate the update. We know it's a busy day, an ongoing situation, and we appreciate the latest information. Tim Ross, our Bloomberg News UK reporter outside Westminster. All right, we do want to talk a little bit about the market environment and reaction to what happened in London today. Let's talk specifically about small caps. Miles Lewis is portfolio manager at American Century Investments. The American Century Small Cap Value Fund, by the way, has beaten nearly all of its peers over the past 5 years with an average annual return of just under 13%. We've really seen some outperformance in the small cap sector since the elections. Miles, nice to have you with us. A troubling day anytime we hear of another terrorist incident around the globe. Tell us how this factors into your thinking about the financial markets.
Sure, Carol. I just want to say, first of all, obviously, that our thoughts and prayers go out to everyone in London and the families of those that were affected by today's events. But the answer for us is that we do focus on individual stocks and individual securities. So as tragic as events like today are, they don't typically impact our investment process too materially.
So as you start to, I would imagine also you're looking for companies that are growing irrespective of any sort of given event and that you're not trying to look at it in a macro way. Are you looking for companies, however, that are sort of fundamentally going through a turnaround, bottom picking, if you will?
Yeah, well, I don't know if I'd call it bottom picking, but we absolutely do that. You know, the typical company that we're looking for is a high quality business that's undergoing some sort of transitory or cyclical issue that's not structural or permanent in nature. And we want to buy that security when we think the valuation is attractive, and we begin to sell that stock as it approaches our estimate of fair value. So that's pretty much exactly what we do.
Miles, got to ask, we've had quite a rally. Corey pointed it out before. Small caps have rallied more than 15% since before the U.S. presidential election, slightly outperforming the 12% gain by the S&P 500. Is it hard, though, to find some interesting plays considering that run-up, or have you been adding or selling since that run-up?
Yeah, so there's actually been a little bit of a pullback. Yeah, most of those returns came in the month following the election, and since then, small caps are down about 5 or 6%, with a lot of that coming literally in the last 2 or 3 days. But one of the beauties of investing in small cap stocks is that even when the market's flirting with all-time highs and valuations in aggregate are pretty stretched, there's always opportunities out there for us to turn over a lot of rocks and find some interesting businesses. And we're finding those today. We're just not finding as many of them as we would like or as we typically do.
What's the biggest sort of variant in the macro market that starts to affect your valuations? Are you willing to look at stocks, for example, that are highly levered, even as rates are starting to go up? Just about 30 seconds left here.
Yeah, sure. We focus a lot on balance sheets, and so we tend to shy away from companies with a lot of leverage, and we do think that that's something here in this market environment that a lot of people are overlooking. Small caps, leverage is about 2x what it was going into the financial crisis, and so we don't think there's a lot of margin for error there if things go wrong, particularly as rates begin rising. So we focus on strong companies with good balance sheets and good free cash flow in good times and in bad.
Hey, listen, we've run out of time, Miles, but hopefully we can have you come back soon because we'd love to talk some specific names. And I know there's some individual equity plays that you've been looking at specifically. Miles Lewis, thank you. Portfolio manager at American Century Investments, $2 billion in assets under management, joining us on the phone in New York. You are listening to Bloomberg Radio. It is time for a check on the latest world and national news headlines. Once again, here is Nathan Hager in our Bloomberg 99.1 newsroom in Washington. Nate.
Thank you, Carol. We continue to follow the terror attack in London. Police now say 4 people are dead, including the suspected attacker. At least 20 more hurt after a car plowed into pedestrians on Westminster Bridge. Then the attacker went after an officer with a knife inside Parliament before police shot him. White House spokesman Sean Spicer says President Trump's been in touch with UK Prime Minister Theresa May.
Secretary Tillerson's issued a statement, as has Homeland Security Secretary Kelly. So we are continuing to monitor the situation. We're in touch with officials in the British government.
Spicer also says President Trump was not aware that Paul Manafort once worked for a Russian billionaire. At the time when he was Trump's campaign chairman, the Associated Press reported this morning that Manafort secretly worked for that billionaire as early as 2005 to advance Russian President Vladimir Putin's interests. It is day 3 of Senate confirmation hearings for Supreme Court nominee Neil Gorsuch.
I've been around here 40 years, and I've seen all kinds of judges come before this committee. And there have been a number of great ones. And you, sir, are one of the great ones.
Utah Republican Orrin Hatch offering praise for the nominee, but Democrats have been pressing Gorsuch on how he would rule on specific cases like abortion. Gorsuch told them he would exercise the care, consideration, and due precedent that a good judge is supposed to. Also, confirmation hearing day for President Trump's labor secretary pick, Alexander Acosta. He didn't say much about where he stands on issues like overtime pay or other issues. Global News, 24 hours a day, powered by more than 2,600 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Nathan Hager. This is Bloomberg.
Global business news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Radio Plus mobile app, and on your radio. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
I'm Doug Krisner in New York, 47 past the hour on Bloomberg Markets. Let's get you caught up on market action. The pound right now, this is sterling against the dollar, holding kind of steady, 124.85 in cable, following that terror attack in London. Four people killed, one of whom was a police officer. We'll have more on that as we track the story for you. FT100 in the London session was lower by about 0.7%. Insofar as U.S. equities are concerned, kind of a mixed picture, not a lot of movement one way or the other after yesterday's sharp losses that saw the major benchmarks giving back 1% plus. Right now, the Dow weaker by about 0.1%, S&P higher by less than 0.1%. Strength in many of the tech names pushing the NASDAQ composite better by about 0.3%. Renewed weakness among the banks. Yesterday, the S&P Financials Index was down nearly 3%. It's lower again today. Some concern about promised regulatory rollbacks. Maybe languishing a bit. Who knows? We'll have to wait and see. Bloomberg Dollar Spot Index down for a sixth straight session, weaker by 0.2%. WTI crude oil right now, 48.04. That's down 0.4%. And the yield now in the U.S. 10-year Treasury is at 2.39%. So you're caught up on markets. Corey and Carol, back to you.
Lovely. Doug Krisner, thank you so much. All right, everybody, you are listening to Bloomberg Markets on this busy Wednesday. It is 11:48 in the Bay Area and 2:48 on Wall Street.
The following is from Bloomberg View. Opinions and commentary from Bloomberg columnists.
I'm Megan McArdle, a columnist for Bloomberg View. We spend more on healthcare and have lower life expectancy than any other developed nation. Have you heard that? If you haven't, you probably don't read the news. It's true as far as it goes, but people aren't just sharing a fun fact like Babe Ruth used to cool his head by keeping a cabbage leaf under his hat. They're interested in the implication that by moving to more universal coverage, we could spend less on healthcare and lower our mortality rate. That's pretty dubious. A nation's healthcare system isn't the only thing driving its mortality rate. It's not even necessarily the most important. Don't believe me? 1 year after Obamacare went into effect, age-adjusted mortality rose for the first time in decades. Nor can we necessarily spend less. No country in the world has cut healthcare spending long-term without a major crisis. Our costs aren't growing noticeably faster than the rest of the OECD, so we can't fix the problem by lowering the growth rate to European levels either. There are reasons to support more government involvement in the healthcare sector, but longer lives at lower cost probably isn't among them. I'm Megan McArdle, a columnist for Bloomberg View. For more commentary, go to BloombergView.com or view Go on the Bloomberg Terminal.
This has been Bloomberg View.
And Bloomberg View commentaries can be heard every weekday at this time, also at 5:48 a.m., 8:48 a.m., and 11:48 a.m. Wall Street Time, Corey, right here on Bloomberg Radio.
Let's get a Bloomberg News reporter, Rob Hutton, who's at Westminster Hall in London right now with the latest on what's happening. Tell us exactly where you are, Rob, and what's going on there.
I'm in Westminster Hall, one of the oldest buildings in Europe, the oldest building in London, just yards from where a few hours ago a man tried to run through the gates of Parliament. He stabbed a police officer on his way through and was then himself shot by other police officers. And sadly, the police officer he stabbed, we now know, died at the scene despite efforts of one member of parliament, as well as other emergency staff to resuscitate him. The attacker has also died. Round the corner from where we were, before this was the first we knew about it, as we saw this guy run in and be shot. But even before he'd got there, he'd already killed two other people on Westminster Bridge. He drove his car, so it appears to have been an SUV, along the bridge, trying to hit the tourists that stand on Westminster Bridge, being photographed in front of one of the most famous views in the world. And we now know that two people died on the bridge and at least 20 others are injured.
What do we know, if anything, at this point, Nick, Rob, about the assailant who we know is one of the four that has been killed in this incident?
I'm afraid I know absolutely nothing about him.
Okay.
Except that we watched the police attempt to resuscitate him as well as their colleague after the attack. But we are now being held. We were locked down in our offices in Parliament, and then we were told we had to leave, and we've all been moved through to this giant hall where we're being held while they assess which of us are witnesses and who has evidence on their phones and so on and so forth. So I'm afraid I don't know anything about this man at all.
And I would say I can see from some of the pictures that have been taken that it looks like it was a Hyundai SUV or 4x4 that was involved in this, and that some people actually, at least in one case, someone actually jumped from the bridge into the Thames and was rescued from that. But it seems like a scene of utter chaos.
Yes. I mean, this is one of the most famous locations in the world, and in a way, it's a surprise that it's taken this long for somebody to attempt something like this. These kinds of attacks are actually very rare in London. I was recalling it's 12 years, I think, since the last one, which I also found myself in the center of when bombers attacked the London Underground in two waves a fortnight apart. Since then, there's been nothing until today. And what has happened in the meantime is a progressive hardening of the security around Parliament itself. So that in fact, the gates are about the only place that one could even attempt to run through. And they are always guarded by police officers, armed police officers. What, of course, it seems it's difficult to do is keep those people who are keeping us safe themselves.
All right. Robert, thank you very much. We're going to keep in touch with you and keep checking in on what's going on there. In London right now, where the whole world is looking. Bloomberg News, Rob Hutton, joining us from Westminster Hall.
All right, Corey, we do also want to talk about one of the stories in the markets today, in the equity markets today specifically, and that is Sears Holdings, that slow bleed continuing for that company, for that stock. Let's get more on this latest leg down for the 131-year-old department store chain. Nick Turner is the U.S. consumer team leader at Bloomberg News, joining us in our Bloomberg 1130 studio. Nick, I feel like we have been following Sears for, I don't know whether it's a decade. I feel like, you know, a new chapter came on board, if you will, when Eddie Lampert took over. What's the latest news?
Well, I mean, they added some language to their 10K saying, it's, you know, so-called going concern language, basically saying there's substantial doubt about the company's ability to keep operating. You never want to see that as an investor. They couched it by saying, you know, they've laid out their turnaround plan, which they spelled out in more detail last month.
I'm sorry, wait a minute. This is turnaround plan number 20?
Yeah, I mean, possibly, yes. And it's there's some details that I think people would want to know a little bit more about. I mean, he's pledging to cut costs by $1 billion. If their burn rate is about $1 billion a year, maybe that gets to the point of break even, but I don't think anyone has enough information to say whether that's possible yet. So this is a cause for concern. I mean, that's funny, is this year, there's actually been kind of this spike of optimism in Sears. I mean, since February, when Lampert laid out this new turnaround plan, which I think I came on here to talk about at the time, the stock was, you know, I mean, coming from a low base, but, you know, it was up 60% or something.
This is an $837 million market cap company that has, let me just pull up the financial sheet, over $4 billion in debt. Basic math to me says this isn't going to work.
I think that's the math that pretty much everyone is clinging to. But you have an unusual situation. I mean, at the time, think about all the bankruptcies this year, like Gordman's, Radio mm-hmm. Shack, H.H. Gregg. A lot of these companies, you don't have a situation where the CEO, the creditor, and the biggest investor is all the same guy. I mean, that's I think, the wild card here, because if he does want to bail them out one more time, he has the option to do that. And it's not this sort of relationship between the creditors and the company where there's push and pull and they try to, you know, either pull them into bankruptcy or keep them out of it, or, you know, you don't have that tension.
Quoting Warren Buffett, when a management with a reputation for brilliance tackles a business with a reputation for bad economics, it's the reputation of the business that remains intact.
Nicely done, Johnson. Nicely done.
Thank you very much, Nick. Always a good time with Nick Turner.
Right,
Nick Turner,
you.
Bloomberg News, U.S. consumer team leader, joining us here on Bloomberg Markets. You are listening to Bloomberg Markets on Bloomberg Radio.